Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's only statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, and your host, John Arneson.
Welcome back. Monday morning, Voices of Montana, John Arneson and Robert Kanan, Vice President of the Foundation Advancing Creation Truth and the Director of the Glendive Dinosaur and Fossil Museum. Couple quick questions and then more phone calls. Do you have group rates and tours? Also, how about hours and the address, how much it costs, kind of the nuts and bolts of the museum before we go further?
Okay. Well, we are located in Glendive at 139 State Street. So if you're looking that up on Google, that'll give you the address right off the interstate. You'll see the big T-Rex head right by the running store there in Glendive. And we are open primarily in spring through fall. Our spring hours are Fridays and Saturdays in April and part of May, and then mid-May we'll open up full-time, and we're open Tuesday through Saturday. We're open daily from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and then in the fall, in after Labor Day, we'll go back to Fridays and Saturdays through the end of October, and then we use our winter months to kind of freshen things up. We'll be open around Christmas and some other times throughout the year as well. Our rates, I think, are very reasonable. For adults, we charge $7. It's for seniors and students, it's $6. For kids 2 to 12, it's $5. And then we also have group rates where if you bring a group, everybody's just $5. And if you call ahead and you have 10 or more people, we'll let you in at that price. We're pretty flexible that way.
I know some people that will drive to Glendive, check out Mikoshika Park. If you haven't been there, it's one of a kind. They'll drive through it, go to the visitor center and experience that. Get up early the next day after they spend the night, go to the museum, check all that out, and then head after having some good lunch, and they head home, and it's a nice weekend for the family.
That's right, especially with Billings and Bismarck and everything within a day's drive. We're also, well, within just a few hours' drive, you can go for a day trip if you want to. We're also within range of Minneapolis and Denver. When you think about, it's really just a day to get to Glendive from any of those locations. Many of our visitors come from Minnesota. We're kind of Minnesota's playground.
That's funny.
Montana is. Huh. So they'll come right through
Glendive.
Too
many mosquitoes up there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I always, yeah, we go to Minnesota to have vacation.
Yeah.
But they come here to vacation.
That's the way it is, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go to Dennis in Belgrade, line one. Good morning, Dennis. Thanks for holding. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi, Robert. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the idea that the theory of evolution would require that there would have been hundreds of intermediate species, let's say even just between Cro-Magnon man and Homo sapien, and that these mutations would have had to have multiples, like hundreds of thousands of them, in order to lead to the next mutation, and then those would have to have hundreds of thousands, so that by the time you get to a modern-looking man, you would have left behind, in the fossil record, millions of individuals, and yet when we dig through the Jurassic era or whatever, we don't find any. So I wonder, were we a dominant species? Was the predecessor to Homo sapien, wasn't it also, as today, a very numerous species? What would account for no fossil records if the theory of evolution was, in fact, the reality?
That's a very good question. The way we look at the fossil record, which answers that question for us, is that in 6 days, God created everything, all of the major animal groups, and created humans as well. And that the fossil record is a record of the flood of Noah's day, that the layers that were laid down by water and mud that was produced during that time period and took out bottom-dwelling sea creatures on the bottom, which gives you the Cambrian layer all the way up. And, you know, it gets kind of complicated even for my simple mind to try and figure all of that out.
Because you're not a paleontologist.
No, I am not personally a paleontologist. Of course, a paleontologist is really just somebody that goes out and digs up digs up fossils. So after a while, you get experience. I would say Otis, even though he doesn't have a degree, is a paleontologist. In fact, Jack Horner doesn't have an earned paleontology degree. I'm not diminishing him. I'm just simply saying that his comes from experience.
Sure.
Going out, digging up dinosaur bones. Same with Otis. Otis is a paleontologist from learning that. But the fact that we don't find a lot of intermediate forms, we don't find a bunch of things that can we can piece together to get to the next animal is really telling, because you would expect over millions of years, if that was the case, to find many intermediate forms getting us from one kind of animal to another. So some evolutionists have proposed that evolution happens in leaps and bounds. So you'll get a major change that will then lead to another major change and try and take out those intermediate forms. Okay, well, that's one explanation. We think a better explanation is that God created everything after its own kind. And you have the elephant kind, for instance, with mammoths and mastodons and African elephants and Indian elephants and all of those, all part of the same kind. Some have gone extinct, and there is variation within those kinds, but there's a definite wall between those kinds. You can't leap from one kind to another.
Interesting. Let's go to line two and Bill in Lincoln, Montana. Bill, you're on the air. Hello, yeah, Bill.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
Anyway, I believe in creation also.
We got a bad signal there. Can you...
I said I believe in creation also, but I mean, because I can't imagine, you know, just ending this life and that's the end of it. But this is my question is, what do you consider a creative day by God? I mean, are you thinking a 24-hour day?
That's a great question. Yes, we believe that the days described in the Bible are actual 24-hour days. When the days are described, it says at the end of each of those days, it says in the there was evening and there was morning, the first day, the second day, the third day. And so anytime there is a number associated with the Hebrew word yom, which is that's the word for day, anytime there's a number associated with it, it always in the Bible means an actual day. Another thing we point to is in the Ten Commandments, when God commands the Israelites to honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy, he uses the creation week as an example. And he says, well, you're supposed to work for 6 days and rest on the seventh because I worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh. It wouldn't make any logical sense for him to say that if he wasn't referring to literal days at the beginning. So we don't think there's any reason to expand those days because, again, the flood explains the layers.
Why does a museum exist, really? I think you've hit this, but I want to bring it back to the museum a little bit because we are talking about the museum. I know it's a very interesting subject, but we are going to talk about the museum again. Why does it exist? Was this just a brainstorm with Otis or something that he's always wanted to do?
Well, you know, honestly, we're about getting our perspective out, and we acknowledge that. We want to be a top-quality dinosaur and fossil museum, but we also want to present those fossils in the context of the Bible and show that the Bible can be trusted. We think the Bible's been attacked, and the history described there, it's been attacked. So we want to show that you don't have to. You don't have to sacrifice the biblical record and just because there's dinosaurs and there's fossils. So that's part of it. But we also, I mean, that's the major part. But we also want to be a top-of-the-line museum. We want to present exhibits in such a way that people can just come and enjoy the fossils. And one of the things we've talked a lot about is when somebody comes to us and asks us a question, we want to be honest about what we know and what we don't know. Sometimes we feel like we don't get that when you go into a museum. You just get the perspective and you just get, well, that's the way it is. Well, we want to tell people, here's what we know and here's what is theory or what is based on the Bible or based on evolutionary thinking. We want people to understand that. And so that's another reason we exist. We want to be above board and tell people the truth.
But you look at it as kind of like in the courtroom.
That's exactly right, yeah. And one thing, I'd mentioned it briefly, but I'll kind of explain this a little bit. Say, John, you were on trial for murder. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know who you would kill.
I don't either. I do not dislike anybody.
Not yet. Your producer?
No,
or
Johnny's
like
a
that?
Good man.
Okay,
He needs to pay me back that $20, but hey, no, he doesn't.
So in a courtroom, when you're on trial for murder, there are two stories being presented. there's the prosecution's story. And the prosecution story is that you committed the crime. So all the evidence is going to be presented in that perspective. If you have a good defense attorney, they're going to take some of that same evidence and they're going to try and give it an alternate explanation. Not, we've heard a lot about alternate facts recently, but
very recently.
But we're not talking about alternate facts. We're simply talking about an alternate explanation of the evidence. And so if this is the example I love to use. If they found one of your hairs on the body, they can use scientific means to determine that that was your hair, right?
Right.
They can use DNA. Now, what did they prove? What did the prosecution prove by presenting your hair?
The facts.
What did they – yeah, well, what did they prove?
DNA.
They most people will say
they did it.
Well, yeah, most people will say that it proves you were there.
Yeah.
But it doesn't prove that you were there. All it proves is that your hair was found on the body, right?
Which could have been on my coat that dropped.
Exactly. Somebody could have planted it. I mean, criminals aren't
– Johnny
Cochran. Many of them are not dumb. You know, they can plant evidence and all of that. So from a prosecutor's perspective, they're going to say, well, look, he committed the crime. I mean, they have the hair. Your defense attorney is going to say, yeah, well, the victim could have sat in the chair – that John had been sitting in previously and picked up that hair. So it doesn't prove alone that you committed the crime. You need more information. You need eyewitness testimony. You need other evidence to come to light. And we present evidence, scientific evidence, but we also believe that we have something the evolutionist doesn't have. We have a historical document that purports to describe the beginning of the world. So we compare the scientific evidence to that and say, okay, does it line up?
More phone calls coming up. High school basketball is here. If you're in Nemont country and want to watch your local team play on TV, you need your game pass from Nemont.tv. They've got game day passes if you just want to catch a game or two, monthly passes, and, of course, season passes for the whole year. That's at Nemont.tv. More with Robert Kanan, Vice President of the Foundation Advancing Creation Truth. We'll be right back.
Is your internet slowing you down? Are you complaining about your speed? Then it's time to take action and fix it. Take your internet to new heights. Call 1-800-636-6680 or stop into a retail store near you. Get faster internet for the next 3 months on us. So hurry and call us today or stop into one of our retail locations and tell us to bump up your internet speed. Free for the next 3 months. Some restrictions may apply. Call or see store for details. Nemont, building more than a network.
Back to your phone calls on Voices of Montana. Hey, you know what? Nemont.tv, great for your family that live out of town. Even grandma and grandpa, aunts and uncles can log on to Nemont.tv. Let's go to line three and Jerry in the Flathead. Jerry, good morning. Thank you for holding.
Yeah, I got three questions. One for you and two for the guy.
All right.
One for you is, I haven't heard this guy Ken, I think from Great Falls. He was kind of a pain in your butt. Most of
we do have a Ken on the line, but he's from Stryker, so I don't think that's the same Ken. But
I just wondered if he was barred from the show or
no,
what. No,
absolutely not. Nobody's barred from the show. We take them as they come.
All right. Now, for the guest, do I have this right? You believe that, like, the Earth is from, like, 3,000 to 5,000 years old?
We would say about 6,000 years old, yes.
I see. And, okay, that's all I wanted. And the other one was, how accurate was the movie Caveman starring Ringo Starr?
Good one.
How accurate was that?
Didn't he step in dinosaur poop? Remember that? Oh, dinosaur poop.
You know, I'm not even sure I remember that movie, to be quite honest.
Ringo Starr, a great actor, absolutely. Let's go to Ken and Stryker. That's line one. Where's Stryker? I've heard of it. Where's that from, Ken? Or where's Stryker?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was online. We're just south of Eureka.
Gotcha. See, I said it was almost Idaho.
That's right.
You can see it from there. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah. Oh, okay. First of all, I'd like to say I'm a seasoned paleontologist, been collecting for 30 years.
Awesome.
I don't have my own degree, but I found a lot of nice stuff. And I do have a cast of a Nyctosaur. I'd love to get into your museum. My point,
great
though,
question.
I'd like to say is there's a bunch of us that believe that what you're doing, what is right, what the creation is right. If you do just a study on the erosion, how fast things erode, if you try to take that number and times it by 80 million, everything would have been gone 50 million years ago.
That's right. The Earth would be flat.
Right. So I just wanted to say that a lot of people support what you're doing in the field that I've met and worked with, and also believe that, you know, that it is only a few thousand years old. And there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence out there to prove that.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
How he was asking, and thank you very much for the phone call, Ken, if I have something, should I call you?
Yeah, you can call us. The best thing to do is to send me an email. Take pictures of what you have. You know, one of the difficulties with pictures is we like to see the consistency of the item.
Should they drive up? Would that be best?
The best thing to do would be to contact us and then arrange a time to look at it in person. Now, he mentioned, I think, a cast of an ichthyosaur is what he was talking about, I think. The best thing to do would be to email me at robert@creationtruth.org.
Robert@creationtruth.org.
That is correct. And then that would be the best way to get in touch with me, and then I will get back to you and kind of let you know the next steps on that.
All right. Let's go to Fort Tyne and line two. I think it's Jaith. Go ahead. Line two. You're on the air. From Fort Tyne. Go ahead. What's your name?
Yeah, my name is Keith.
Okay, go ahead, Keith.
Yeah. I have a degree in petroleum engineering that included a lot of work, geology and sedimentation work, and I have a keen interest in dinosaurs. Although I've never been on a dig, I really enjoy going to museums and looking at the work that other people have done, and I agree, I'm a born-again Christian, excuse me, and I agree that with everything that Robert has mentioned this morning. And I also wanted to mention that there's another museum that I enjoy going to, located in Malta, Montana, that has a limited dinosaur display, and not only dinosaur, but other bones as well. And they have a good Native American display there of many Indian artifacts that I always enjoy looking at, and it's very educational to me, and it's something that I've always been interested in, historical relics, including dinosaurs, Indian relics, early settler relics, especially here in Montana, and I do appreciate everything that Robert has been talking about this morning, and I believe wholeheartedly in what he is saying. I've been past the museum there in Glendive. I haven't stopped in, but the next time I go through Glendive, I surely intend to stop in and spend at least a day there looking at the displays and everything that he has.
Please
thank you very much.
Please stop and
Keith,
see us.
Thank you so much. Man, I just got seconds left. Jeff in Glasgow, just a second to go. Go ahead, Jeff. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to give a shout-out to Robert there. He's got a great museum there. As a pilot coming up from the air looking down, you can't help but realize that there was some sort of flood causing the erosion there.
Jeff, I apologize, but I got to go. Looking at
thanks,
it from up, looking down, he says that it proves it to him.
Thanks, Jeff.
You bet. For more information, give me your phone number.
It's 406-377-3228.
Very good. Big thank you going out to Robert Kanan, Vice President of the Foundation Advancing Creation Truth and the Director of the Glendive Dinosaur and Fossil Museum. Until tomorrow, so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana with John Arneson. The comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.
Well, if you ask me where I come from, here's what I tell everyone. I was born by God's dear grace in an extraordinary place where the stars and stripes and an eagle fly. It's a big old land with countless dreams, and happiness ain't out of reach. Hard work pays off the way it should. Yeah, I've seen enough to know that we've got it good. Where the stars and stripes and the eagles.